A man's introduction needs no flow or flash. I am Bookman F, and with me
is Bobcat. And are you really going to do that the whole review again?
I don't see why not. It's to celebrate the return of a true man. A J-man.
Well, first off, last time you did that because you had a cold and your voice was doing that anyway. And we don't want you ruining your voice trying to replicate that. And second, I have this stack of complaints right here.
That's only from one person.
That's an interesting semantical question. Does one qualify as a stack?
Besides, at least I'm wearing pants today. Hello, folks!
Hey, so it's time once again for the 5-Point Podcast.
Today we're watching the sequel to Heat Guy J. You can't tell me otherwise.
Well, I can, but I can see your point.
Okay.
Burke, there will be time for this debate under point 3, characters. At the 5-Point Podcast, we look at the first 3 episodes of an anime or an anime movie, although we like to forget those because so far all the anime movies we've seen have been kind of horrible.
Ridicadum.
You should copyright that, Burke. If we ever do t-shirts, we can make a Ridicadum t-shirt.
Movie slogans. What are the 5 points, you silly man?
I think I got sidetracked.
Yes, you did.
Let me just state what we do. We look at the first 3 episodes of an anime and decide if it's worth your time to continue. We don't do in-depth theme analysis. We don't do... we aren't really literary critics. We're just viewers like you, and our goal is to save you the time of seeing particularly bad anime, because there are a lot of them out there.
We know better than you, and we are not afraid to say so, especially while not wearing pants.
I'm wearing shorts.
Is that what you call them nowadays?
Anyway, we look at anime based on 5 different points. Those are our first impressions, that is, what did we know coming in, what impressions did we have from the box art and such, story, what's the show about, what happens in that first 3 episodes we talked about, characters, what are the characters like, did we like them, did we hate them, what was memorable, what wasn't, presentation, where we look at how well it was animated, the background music, and anything else that strikes our fancies, and then we give point 5 our final thoughts.
Bobcat is cheating again, because clearly he could never do this on memory alone.
No, actually, I did remember it this time.
I don't believe you.
Anyway, Burke, what do we look at this week?
I already said that. Like, at the beginning.
You said the sequel to Heat Guy J. There's more to it than that.
Okay, we watched Coyote Ragtime Show, and if you know what that implies, then please tell me. I have no idea.
Let's get into first point. First impressions.
I had none. It was a stupid name, and Bobcat really, really wanted to watch it because it was a stupid name.
That was pretty much my first impression. I'd heard the name bandied around sometimes, and I really wanted to watch it. It's kind of like Pumpkin Scissors, where you wonder what the heck the anime people were thinking when they came up with that particular title.
Pumpkin Scissors?
It's another show that we might review sometime just based on the name alone.
Oh, God.
There are some anime that will get reviewed on this show simply because they have an entertainingly bizarre name.
Yeah, Hero Man might have been on that list if it hadn't been for Stan Lee's name being attached, which threw it directly onto the list.
Yes.
But I shouldn't be comparing us to Hero Man because no one watched that review.
Well, to be fair, we put that out on Monday instead of Sunday. Apparently people don't have time to listen to an hour-long podcast over the weekdays.
Well... The thing of it is, folks, this is a sequel to Heat Guy J, and we'll explain why in just a second. Which brings us to point number 2, story. If I may, Bobcat?
Go ahead.
The story is Heat Guy J survives into the future and becomes more human, including a personality, goes into space, becomes a space pirate and opens a bar, gets arrested for traffic problems... Then maids try to capture him alive while killing everyone and blowing crap up, and a detective pretty much does nothing but be random fan service and exposition. And then two other guys show up and break out the Heat Guy Jay, and they all go and have ice cream at his bar, where everyone dies again. And then they find a little girl and kidnap her and take her to Booker T, the priest. And then that's it.
Now...
And everyone died.
You've managed to be simultaneously very accurate and very inaccurate at the same time. Good work.
I do my best.
So, let's do this chronologically. Actually, no. You know, we always do it chronologically, but I think this is one where the flavor of the show is lost if we don't do it as the show presented it. Just because the first episode is such a huge, I'm not going to say non sequitur.
It's just a lot of chaos going on all at once. And people dying.
That, in the grand scheme of things, would give you a very different impression of what the series actually is.
Yeah, the first episode, the main character doesn't even show up till the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, the first characters we run into are Angelica Burns and Chelsea Muir. They're a couple of detectives. Angelica is a private investigation from the Federation Bureau.
Her name is
seems
Boobs.
To be a sort of... Yeah. Although, please come up with a different nickname for her.
Tits?
Because I don't want to hear... Anyway...
Gazongas.
There's... Furk, as she herself said, there's more to a woman than her
melons.
Body. How about we call her Chi-Chi?
Milk bags.
And so Angelica is heading to the planet of Sandville.
Fun flappers.
Okay, enough of that, Burke, please.
I got more.
I'm sure you do, Burke. So anyways...
The fun pocket.
I can wait.
I win! I stalled the review.
So Angelica is in an interesting position in that she's investigating somebody who is already technically in prison.
Yeah, she just doesn't know who... Wait. She... up against him for years, but she doesn't know what he looks like?
Yeah, that is sort of bizarre.
What the crap?
She is assigned Chelsea, a local police officer who later on becomes her partner.
Her name is Mirror, because, see, if you shine a light inside of her head, the light is going to come out the other side 10 times brighter. Because the only thing in her head is a reflective surface.
See, I would have called her Mihoshi, because that's who she reminds me of.
Who?
From Tenchi Muyo, the police officer, who is also a dumb blonde with a very deep tan.
You are a nerd.
So the two of them go to the prison, looking for this mystery person that Angelica is on the tail of.
He has no name. And I'm not kidding about that either, because his name is Heat Guy Jay. Jay is not a name, it's a... letter.
Now, in the show, they call him Mister.
Because Mister is another form of guy. I'm not wrong!
They say that he has so many aliases that it's easier just to call him Mister.
You'd think Heat, Guy, and Jay wouldn't be that many, but these are pretty lazy people.
Yeah. So what do you call your cat, Kitty?
You're not supposed to bring up actual real-life laziness.
They're trying to find Mister. Since they know he's at the prison, but they don't know what he looks like and what alias he's there under. It's implied that Angelica has some sort of past with him. I got the impression that she had been a criminal herself and had run-ins with him or something. Like, she'd gone legit at some point.
Probably that, or they were lovers or something. That's kind of the vibe I got from them at the end.
Now, the reason for her to go after him is not entirely explained. But in the larger scheme of the universe, a planet called Graceland is about to get nuked into oblivion by the government.
Cyber Ghost Elvis is going to be very, very sad when that happens.
No, thank you very much.
Don't insult Cyber Ghost Elvis. He is better than you. In all ways.
So...
Especially in bed.
You don't know that.
The best man I ever had.
Okay, I guess you do know that. A pirate king named Bruce had stashed something on that planet of Graceland. Nobody is quite sure what. Some people seem to think it's a giant treasure. No. And he
said that whoever could find his treasure, he kept it all in one piece.
You sound like the smoker from Simpsons at one aunt.
Well, both aunts,
with
but...
lung cancer. She has lung cancer, doesn't she?
I would not surprise me if the actress had lung cancer at this point. A little bit of Simpsons trivia I found out. Whenever she has to record Patty and Selma, she has to smoke a couple packs of cigarettes to get her voice down that low and gravelly. A couple more packs, that is.
No one is surprised.
Anyway, we're back on topic.
Terrible aborted One Piece jokes aside. Terrible.
Mister does something about this treasure, and there's a week until the nuking happens. So he arranges a big prison break involving a couple of his partners in crime. However, before he reveals himself, the prison is attacked by 12 robot maids.
Yeah, they were sent by an evil female crime boss lady. And
her name is Madame Marciano.
They just murder everyone. Honestly,
they're called the 12 Sisters.
For as much as Bobcat was complaining about Kashyyyk being dark, honestly, I think this is a lot darker, because this has them blowing each other, or, you know, blowing innocent people's heads off, and murdering people that were just defenseless, and senseless destruction and mayhem.
Yeah, at this point when I was watching the first episode, I found myself thinking to myself, you know, I'm not entirely sure what I'm watching, but it's so stylish I can't care.
It's just really bizarre. Still, so they're about to kill the detective when Heat Guy J shows up with a rocket launcher and blows one of them to smithereens.
And then he makes good his escape by deactivating the devices that keep the local giant worms away from the prison.
It was amazing. The spice, it flowed.
Yep. So, at the end of the first episode, the impression I got about what the show was going to be was that it was going to be about these two detectives hunting down the elusive Mister.
Guy J.
You know, Burke, you keep saying that so much that I keep forgetting his actual name.
That's because he doesn't have an actual name. His name is Heat Guy J. It's as good as anything else.
You know, was that the impression you got, Burke?
Honestly, I was afraid that was the case. I wanted to see more from Heat Guy J because we got gypped in his actual show.
Yeah.
But I was fully prepared to just be let down and deal with it. No! In fact, in the second episode, I don't think the detectives show up for more than 2 minutes. And that was just for an illogical line about one of their boobs being bigger than the others, despite it literally not.
We'll get to that in under character, I think.
Good as any other place for the boob joke.
We have to sort of talk about their characters in order for the illogicality of the line to make sense.
Yeah.
Episode 1 was sort of a prologue to the series proper.
Yes, that is fair to say. Episode 2 showed how the series is going to be more like, more people died pointlessly for no good reason.
Yeah.
We got introduced to the pink-haired girl of the show.
Franca Doley.
Little pink-haired girl is her name.
Well, her actual name is Franca.
Pink-haired girl.
So Franca, for the last 3 years, has been under the care of Mister. Except that Mister has been in prison for a year.
So really for the last 2 years.
Two of the last 3 years. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Although in that last year, Mister had retired from space pirating in order to become a bartender on a really nasty-looking planet, or at least a really nasty-looking city on what might otherwise be a nice-looking planet.
And we keep getting told about coyotes, and they never actually explain that.
Yeah, it's like coyote is sort of a generic term for criminal.
Space pirates.
Yeah.
Space pirates.
Some of them seem to be space pirates. Some of them, I wouldn't give them that. Some of them don't seem that cool. So the thing is, in the last year, Franca has been in charge of the bar. You can tell a lot about a fictional world from the sort of shenanigans that the local law enforcement lets happen. In this case,
it says a lot that a, what, 8-9-year-old little girl runs a bar?
I thought she was about 13 or so. At the most.
Maybe 12. She's a tiny, tiny little girl.
And incidentally, she is a pink-haired girl literally, not just in the figurative sense.
Yeah, she has pink hair.
And, you know, Mister has showed up again, she feels abandoned, and she sort of seems conflicted. And this is, I thought, was interesting. She seems to like him on some level, because he's been taking care of her since her father's death.
She views him as a father figure. The problem is, she believes the only reason he cares for her is because of the pendant she wears that has the key to the treasure. The thing of it is, and what she doesn't get, is that he already knows the thing about the treasure. That doesn't matter to him. She matters to him. Because he's right. more than just about the treasure. The only reason he's going to all this is because he wants to get her inheritance for her.
Right.
And she nearly dies to learn this lesson. Because she's an idiot and a little girl.
Right, we'll talk about that more later. But...
why? I just summed it up.
Apparently, you know, if Graceland wasn't being nuked in a week, he would have just waited a while to,
be let out from prison the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, see, that's the funny thing is, he escaped from prison 1 week before his one-year sentence was up.
Yes. It's not really a thing that bothers him. He's fine with it. It's cool.
The maids come, the maids and the human soldiers that work under the maids, come to attack them, and here's what I thought was really funny. They made the same assumption that the little girl did. Or the only reason that they have survived through episode 3 is that the maids say, if he knew where the treasure was, he wouldn't need her. But he keeps her around, so therefore, he must not have gotten the information from her yet. Capture them both.
Because they think that he has to know something. Plus,
right.
I'm fairly certain he has history with their boss.
Yeah. Considering that their boss was the one who killed Franka's father.
Yeah, probably a thing. Though, one thing that I find personally quite amusing, the detective keeps the head of one of the maids in a birdcage.
Yes.
What came of this, we don't know yet, because that part of the story is getting maybe 5% of the screen time.
Yeah, not even that much. They appeared in like 5 minutes of episodes 2 and 3.
So, fortunately, they're rescued from the maids by two of Mister's old associates, Bishop and Katana.
Katana is the stupidest name of all time, for the record.
It would be a better name if he actually used a sword or something, so then you would get the impression it was like a criminal nickname that made sense.
That was
But no, he's sort of... He's their pilot and an engineer.
Yeah.
Bishop, I don't know what his deal is. He's sarcastic, but I don't know what he actually contributes.
Maybe he's the marksman. Maybe he's the weapons guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and the most it seems to think about him is that he makes plans.
Oh, so he's the strategist. I thought that was Heat Guy J's part.
Me too. I don't know that his character is entirely necessary.
He breaks up a few things, and he has some vague history with Mr. Shaft.
So they head out. They can't just go straight to Planet Graceland, because Mister says, you know, they have roughly where it is, but they need Dread Pirate Bruce's old second-in-command, Swamp Gordon.
Father Mr. Shaft.
Swamp is an African... I won't say African-American because they aren't in America. An African alien? That sounds racist.
He's black.
Okay, I'll just say he's black, yeah. Sorry, tried to be politically correct about it.
There's nothing politically correct. Half the African-Americans in America aren't even from Africa.
Anyway, so Swamp retired from the pirate life and has become a preacher and a pillar of his community. But even though he's a pillar of his community, this is a sort of world where he still has hundreds of guys with bazookas ready to go at a moment's notice in case they're attacked. Because that's what they do.
Not in his church, but just around the area. Anyone even looks sideways, they're getting blown up.
Because Mister and crew were in their spaceship flying away from a bunch of helicopters with the maids on board. And Mister's like, don't worry, Swamp's going to see them and figure out who they are and blow them out of the sky for us. And he does so.
Yeah, Heat Guy J's pretty observant.
Yeah. Well, it's that robot brain of his.
Of course. And really, the only other thing that happens in that episode is they fight the sisters once more, completely show them up, and Mr. Father Shaft T. Booker joins the crew.
So that's the plot thus far. It looks like it's a sort of show where there isn't going to be a lot of filler, necessarily. It's kind of a short show, too.
Yeah.
12 episodes. So, I'd say we have a good chance of this being very tight in the long run, aside from the long action scenes.
Well, long action scenes aren't bad, but they did get a little bit boring by the third episode.
Right, because it was the same action scene over and over again.
Yeah, lots of guns and explosions.
And maids. So let's move on to point three, characters.
Well, we should start with the most varied and faceted of all of them. Blonde
Mr.
chick.
J?
No. Blonde chick who's really, really stupid and kind of
okay.
Slutty.
Chelsea. See, here's the thing about Chelsea. She is the stupidest character in anything we've reviewed so far.
I'm not too sure. We still have the main character from Baka and Test. He was
no.
Japanese Homer Simpson.
No. I would say he's smarter than Chelsea.
I don't think so.
He was at least literate, as I recall. He couldn't do much with that literacy, but he could read.
She can write. That's like being literate.
Yeah, but...
She actually comes up with a good idea.
Yeah. In more than one episode, she was shown as having problems reading stuff out loud.
Well, yeah, she's an idiot, but then again, she never thought, if I keep cutting this piece of ramen... I will end up with infinite ramen.
Yeah.
Really, they're perfect for each other.
Yeah. She's likable. She's dumb. Let's talk about Angelica. The cameras love Angelica. The cameras love certain parts of Angelica.
Her cleavage.
This is the first show we've watched where there was a boob bounce in the first minute.
Yeah. Though, honestly, it wasn't all that distracting. It was just sort of happening and kind of annoying.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a bit more under presentation, but I want to retract something I said in the Spice and Wolf review. What I said in the Spice and Wolf review is that the anime shorthand for an alien character is that they are a food monster who is obsessed with food and eats lots and lots of food, and that's how they show off that they're alien. I need to rephrase that. That's the anime code for anyone who is outgoing.
Yeah. She's eats a lot. Heat Guy Jay eats a lot. His two partners in crime eat a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure pink-haired girl eats a lot.
The first impression we get of her is that she wears tight outfits and she eats a lot.
Yeah, and she wears cleavage-exposing outfits. This is very important to note, because in the second episode, she criticizes Blondie because Blondie shows off her boobs.
Even though Blondie's outfit doesn't at all?
Yeah, here's the thing. The blonde chick... She wears a pretty normal outfit. She wears a normal shirt, no plunging neckline or anything, and a jacket over it.
Right, it looks kind of like a uniform.
Yeah. It's not sexualized, it's not fan service-y, and she never plays anything up. The only thing about her that gets played up is her stupidity, because she's a very, very stupid lady.
And yet... Angelica, who shows herself off constantly, criticizes her because a woman is more than her body. It just struck me as bizarre.
More than little. Maybe more's happening than what we see.
Yeah. Now, mind you, with these two characters, while Mister is a cool character, I would not have complained much if these two had been the focus. They have a good dynamic.
It reminds me of a slightly more exaggerated Trigun situation.
With Millie and Meryl?
Yeah.
Which is also just like the situation in Tenchi Muyo with Kiyone and Mihoshi.
Nerd!
Wait, so knowing Tenchi Muyo makes me a nerd, but you knowing Trigun doesn't?
Because I have double standards, and whenever I do talk about Tenchi Muyo, I tend to talk about Tenchi in Tokyo, or Tenchi GXP, which we will be watching later, or Tenchi Muyo.
My favorite one was Tenchi Universe, personally, but... Well, that's off topic.
You're still a nerd.
So, like we said, first episode, they seem much more important than they eventually were.
Yeah, they're barely in the next two. I get the feeling that there's a lot of history going on between Boobs and Heat Guy J. I think they may have been love interests at some point, because he does go out of his way to protect her.
I get the... Yeah, at the very least... I think she's a former member of one of his gangs or something.
Possibly. Which, I guess, brings us to Heat Guy J.
All right, Mr. J. Should I call him Puddin'?
Only if you want to be castrated.
So, do Mister, you?
Yeah.
Mister is...
Heat Guy J.
Yes. Well, no, see, the thing is, while he looks just like Jay, just like Jay.
The only difference is he doesn't have mutton chops.
Oh, and also his eyes don't keep doing robot-y things.
Well, no, the technology got better as time went on.
They're actually very different characters.
Because this one actually has a personality, and he's the lead character.
Right. The thing about him is that he is a...
man.
Well, yes, he is a... he look like a man.
Don't ever... oh, see, don't.
That's like a one percenter joke right there.
Don't ever do that again. Don't. Why did you?
So Mister is a very smug guy. He seems to always be a couple steps ahead of everyone.
Or at least he always is planning to be. He's always got an idea of what's going on, and even when he's caught off guard, he tends to just swing with the flow.
Right, like one line is that Bishop had told him that Franca was looking forward to seeing him again. And then he later said, by the way, I was kind of lying earlier. Franca is really angry at you and doesn't want to see you. I just, you know, tried to make sure that you came back to see her. His response was, I'm not surprised. And Bishop replies, yeah, you're never surprised.
He's always got something in mind. In fact, I think the whole traffic accident was some elaborate plan of his to getting good somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what he gained from it, but
maybe
there had to be something.
Maybe he wanted to go to prison for a little while.
Maybe.
God knows it would have gotten him away from pink-haired girl.
Mister is a likable character for the most part. It's just that sometimes he can get a little bit too smug.
Hey, at least he's actually the star this time. I'm not getting this old show.
Yeah.
He's exactly the same.
Yeah, physically.
Even in character, they have similar traits. You know, if the other one was allowed to actually have a personality.
In the sense that Jay is always calculating and planning.
And also how they treat their younger sidekicks.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good transition to talking about Franca.
Do we have to go to Pink-Haired Girl?
Well, yes. She is arguably the second most important character in the show. Like we said before, her issue was that... okay, her father died in front of her, and she was taken in by one of his friends, and she seems to want that connection with Mister, but she's also convinced that Mister is just using him.
See my other superior explanation for this, earlier.
Right, I'm just reminding people. This is a very interesting setup. I think it's very creative. It might be the most creative part of the show.
Yeah, because the setting is not...
Right, we'll talk about that more under part 4, but... the relationship between Mister and Franca is... I get the impression that Mister went straight for her. Like, went on the... He stopped being a criminal just for her sake.
He also gave up the feather boas.
Lord, I knew I shouldn't have used that phrasing.
And yet you did!
And Mister seems to legitimately love her and really care about her a lot.
He really does. She's either a daughter to him, or at the very least, a niece.
Or else he is so devoted to his friend Bruce that he cares about her for that reason. But I think it's probably for her own sake on some levels.
And this whole thing also applies to the other coyotes, which I... guess brings us to them, unless there's anything else about her besides the fact she's a good cook?
She's a little girl character.
She's annoying.
She's kind of... I won't say that she's mature for her age, but she's very weary.
Well, she did watch her father die.
And then she spent 3 years being cared for by someone that she was sure was using her, yes. That would weigh on anyone.
Little bit. So?
Bishop and Katana. We summed them up completely earlier.
Yeah, they're not unique characters. You've seen them in other shows.
They are there because...
the cast needs more cast.
Mister needs someone to talk to.
And he needs someone to pilot the ship while he's blowing up stuff.
Or smoking a cigar. Yeah. And looking cool.
Again, he's Heat Guy J.
Yeah. He's just found a way to concentrate his smoke more.
Yeah.
Bishop, I would say, is more interesting than Katana, because Katana is just sort of a otaku, it seems.
Don't use Japanese words.
It's a Japanese show.
I hate you.
Bishop has a conflict going with Swamp Gordon of some sort. And that was interesting because, well, first off, it led to some legitimately funny lines about everyone saying to Bishop, hey, you know, leave him alone, man. He beat you up once before.
Yeah, they had some kind of fight, and Bishop lost a lot.
Oh, we haven't gotten the details yet. It was obvious it was epic.
Yeah. Or at least really, 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 really terrible. Terribly one-sided.
Speaking of Swampy, and Swamp would kick my ass for calling him Swampy.
I would hope so. You deserve it.
I hate to call him a stock character because he's almost too unique for that.
He's Mr. T, crossed with the Shaft, but as a priest.
He's a likable guy, very sort of rough and sarcastic. But the first time we see him, he's singing a gospel song, like in church. And the interesting thing about that is that they didn't translate it.
Which made it to be very interesting.
Yes. All I could get was, Kami-sama, thank you. because they were saying, Kami-sama, literally thank you, not thank you in Japanese.
Yeah. So it was a gospel song in Japanese, but done as a choir. It was a lot of bizarre things with it.
Yes.
But beyond that, there's not a whole lot to say. He doesn't really trust Heat Guy J, but he's doing this. Apparently he has some kind of key to getting the treasure. He's doing this for Pink-Haired Girl, because he was her father's best friend. And apparently he doesn't know why Heat Guy J was left in charge of Pink-Haired Girl.
Swampy was Bruce's right-hand man, but Mister wasn't. You almost get the impression that Swampy kind of resented that.
A little bit.
So there are actually 13 characters left to talk about.
None of them are important!
Fortunately, we can condense them down into a few
villain,
of things.
Villain, 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 psychopathic villain, 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 big bad. There you go, there they all are!
The 12 sisters are more interesting than Madame Marciano. Marciano has just sort of so far been the big bad orchestrating everything. We don't know what her deal is. We know that she killed Bruce, but that's it. The 12 sisters. It's like somebody out there had come up with an idea for a dating sim. Hey, come up with these 12 different maid characters for it, but their dating sim got turned down, so they amped up their violence and turned them into villains for the show. Each of them is named for a month of the year.
Pretty much, and one of them has Cloud's hair. She's the one that gets turned into a bird head cage.
She gets her head blown off, her whole body blown up by Mister, and the police sees her head as evidence.
I'm not too sure if the police officially did that, but the detective lady did anyways.
It's said that there's a lot of corruption in this world. This is not a happy place to live, anymore, it seems.
Detective Boobs is about the only one who's actually trying to do anything about it.
Yeah. So that's the characters. You'll notice that we use the phrases stock a lot.
Yeah, that brings us to point number 4. Presentation. This is Trigun meets Outlaw Star.
Yeah.
With the main character of Heat Guy J.
The visuals are very competent, I would say.
Yeah, the animation's nice.
If I had one complaint about the animation, it's how they do the lip movement.
Yes. The lip movement often feels off and wrong.
Well, it's because they just have animated in different mouth shapes, and they switch between them with no
rhyme or reason.
Well, I was going to say with no transitions, but yeah, they also lack rhyme and reason. Now, we watched this in the dub, so maybe they synced up more in the Japanese, but from what I understand, and I'm open to correction on this, I seem to recall that Japanese shows are less tight with their lip sync than American shows.
Which really makes this kind of bad.
On the rare occasions we've done subs, it hasn't been as noticeable as this.
This is pretty sloppy. But the animation, I want to jump back to that for a second. It's not as good as Hero Man or Casher and Sins, Those two, I think we can say, has the best animation of what we've seen.
Right.
This one is somewhere a little bit below those two.
And this is not to say that the animation, aside from the lip flap, is bad.
Yeah.
Because I would say that the animation is the real reason to watch the show.
Yeah.
Because while the fight scenes can go a little long, they are cool. In fact, I was sort of describing the show to someone else, and I said that it's like a lot of the show was dictated because they came up with really cool fight scenes and they wanted to make a plot to justify it.
And they wanted to use Heat Guy J.
And his immediate response was, oh, so it's the anime Michael Bay. And I would say that the approach here is a little deeper than Michael Bay usually goes.
The thing that throws it off is human life means nothing in this show. Side characters, if they're not going to join the main characters, chances are they're not just going to die, they're going to die bloodily. The best death that's happened to someone was that they all got blown up together.
In episode 1, the 12 sisters parachute down onto the prison, and that's our introduction to them, is that they just whip out their guns and just start gunning down everyone, prisoner and policeman alike.
And it really kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, because the show does not build up to this.
No. You go right from mystery about who is Mister to
violent Goro.
Blam, 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 blam.
Honestly, if you're a little queasy, you shouldn't watch this.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. And a lot of death.
Which actually ties back into the very beginning. The one person who would have complained about my voice would never watch this show ever.
Let's move on to music. I listened very carefully to the background music.
I don't recall it.
I don't really remember what there was particular, aside from the awesome gospel tune sung by Swampy Gordon.
That was the only thing that stuck out, though. It didn't annoy me.
No, the reason I listened so carefully to the background music is that the show is called Coyote Ragtime Show. I see where the coyote comes in. That's the nickname for, it's either generic criminals or a particular group of criminals. I kept listening for the ragtime.
No, the most we get is some pseudo-jazz.
There's a lot of 70s-style funk. That's what the gospel song is done in the style of. And it's an awesome song, and I kind of want to see if I can buy it somewhere. Just because it is kind of fun and hilarious at the same time.
But you should be used to being alone.
Opening theme is pretty good, although again, it was more 70s funk than ragtime.
I never watched the ending theme because I hate commercials.
I watched the ending theme once. It didn't really stick with me. Let's see, what else is there in the presentation? Oh yeah, we've called out the direction before at certain times in other shows. Here I have to call them out on one thing. Stop showing me Franka's butt.
That would be nice, yes. I do not want to sexualize the possibly 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, they like to do that a lot. There are so many camera shots where it'll show her talking to Mister by hovering it just slightly left of her butt. So that you can see his face.
The way I see it, the way I think of it, clearly, her father was actually Jim Carrey.
Huh? Oh, because she's talking out of her butt?
Yes. I'm glad you caught on with the 10-year-old joke.
More than that now, sadly.
You're old.
You're old.
You're older!
Yes, I am. So, they did the same thing to Angelica, but there it was more fan service that, while you might feel guilty about it, you might say, why is this here? It doesn't seem to belong in this particular scene. Is less creepy than the Franka stuff.
I didn't feel guilty about it, because that'd be silly. Instead, I just sort of didn't care. Random hot girl in an anime. Oh god, it's not like I'm never gonna see one of these ever again in any anime ever.
Yeah, when I say guilty, I mean like, what if someone had been watching me and they'd come in at that particular scene?
I wouldn't care.
Is there anything else in your presentation we want to talk about?
The dubbing. The dubbing is pretty good.
Yeah?
And that's really it. It's
Franka's voice can get annoying sometimes.
Well, yes, but she's a little girl. That's to be expected. All little girls are annoying and should be shot on sight.
Wow, you're just going for it.
All little girls!
So I think that's all we have to say about that. So, final thoughts.
It's not bad. I would say give it a try. I'm not sure if I'm going to finish watching it like I want to finish watching Hero Man and Cashern, But I'm not sad I watched it. I never got angry at the show. In the end, I'll be honest, it's not a bad show. If you like Outlaw Star and you like shows like that, this isn't a bad one. It's pretty short. I have no strong feelings either way. Give it a try. It's on Hulu. If you can put up with commercials, there you go.
I kind of feel the same way. I'd recommend this to people who are looking for something more action-y than anything with substance. Closest we got to substance was the relationship between Franca and Mister, and that might have been resolved as of episode 2.
Maybe. I hope it was, to be honest.
This was much more style than substance. And the fight scenes are interesting. I had to say to myself, you know, there isn't much to this, but it's very stylish. And the mind that would say, I need a group of 12 mercenaries to be constantly chasing my hero. Aha! Made robots.
Made robots who are slowly but surely all going down.
Yes.
Cloud was reduced to a head in episode 1. They all survived episode 2, but another one died in episode 3.
12 is a good number for fodder villains.
Yeah. Especially in a very short anime.
And I think that's about it.
That really is. Are we going to do any cool, cutting-edge end skit?
You know what? Let's not.
You suck.
Next week we'll be looking at Time of Eve, which was requested by Mad Shadow over at the Desu Des forums, which is the first review request from somebody who one of us didn't know pretty deeply.
In any fashion at all.
Oh, also I'm proud to announce that in April we'll be doing Mecha Month.
Yay. Because the last time we got a mecha anime that was advertised as a mecha anime, it went so well.
Yeah.
Agito! Well, Bobcat, we both know how to end this.
Good night, everyone.
No. I hate you. The end.